You're listening to the Make Chic Happen podcast with your hosts, Melanie Mitro and Katie Ersta, where we navigate the messy middle of building a business and all the work that goes into designing a life you love. Melanie Mitro built a seven-figure network marketing empire while working at the kitchen table, raising her boys, and trying not to lose her mind. Melanie loves chatting all things marketing, time management, and leadership development. Katie created the foundation of her seven-figure business while teaching full-time, battling cancer, raising her boys, and avoiding all things laundry. Katie's got you covered with social media storytelling and impact-driven income. We're building a business right alongside you, giving you the inside scoop to the reality of entrepreneurship. The good, the bad, and the really, really messy middle. We're not letting you build your business alone. Pull up a chair, grab your coffee, and let's make chic happen. Now, here's your hosts, Melanie and Katie.
Everybody, it is Melanie and Katie, the hosts of the Make Chic Happen podcast. And
Make Chic Happen. I feel like we need an audio that does that. I wish everybody could see Melanie's face right now, because anytime I throw her off her A game, she doesn't know what to do. And then she looks at me like I have two heads, which is what's happening right now.
You did. You just like came out of left field.
Like a wrecking ball.
And I was about to say, it's been a really long time since we've actually recorded a podcast together.
Yeah, it kind of has, hasn't it?
It has. It's been like, I'm gone, you're gone, I'm gone, Katie's gone.
I know, but we've been living our best life over the summer, which I feel like that is such a big part of what we teach entrepreneurs now, is truly unplugging and enjoying their business, but also really enjoying being present with their people, with their family. And we're living that this summer. And we're just so excited to, you know, share some of those best practices, even within our community. We talk about those things. So even right now, I'm getting ready to head to the Great Smoky Mountains for a couple of days with my husband. Yeah. But we wanted to record this podcast together because it is a huge part of how Melanie and I do social media, but more importantly, how we teach it and how we've seen people impacted by applying these skills. So we're gifting this to you today on the podcast, which we're really excited about.
We are. And so Katie and I are real big on strategy, on storytelling, social media marketing. And, you know, one of the things that we teach is the framework for writing really good quality content, because as a marketer, everybody that's listening right now, you're marketing yourself, whether it's on Facebook or Instagram, LinkedIn, Pinterest, any of the social platforms. And there is sort of this like, oh, there is no algorithm, like the algorithm's always against you, right? Is there ever really a strategy for achieving success with your social content? And it's not about just throwing spaghetti at the wall to see what sticks, right? It's truly trial and error. But the one thing we found to be true is that there actually is a framework for writing quality content. And while you can improve, you know, the pieces of the framework and really begin to, you know, become an expert at writing social media content, it does take practice. But if you follow the framework that we're going to teach you today, your likelihood of creating more engagement, growing your following, really cultivating a connection in a community that leads to sales, that probability is going to go way up. And so we're going to walk you through what our framework is for writing quality content today.
All right. So if you are somebody who has a pen and paper, if you love taking notes, we find that this episode is going to be filled with just some tips and advice that you can apply today to the writing of your content. So let's talk about tip number one. Tip number one is to really identify and establish what the purpose of a piece of content is. So anytime you post, you want to take a pause. You want to stop yourself before you post and ask yourself a couple of questions that really impact what the outcome of that content can be. So here are some of the questions that I ask myself before I post a piece of content. And this can be anything. This can be from a reel to a carousel post to a static post to a meme. You really want to ask yourself, number one, how does this piece of content actually benefit my audience. So I want to ask myself, is it about me? Am I just showing up and showing something or selling something, or am I adding value to my audience? The second question I ask is it aligned to my brand and to my messaging? So for example, if you have a brand and you love talking about your faith, and then out of nowhere, you share a meme that is all about some of your political views, they just come off as incredibly angry. Your audience is going to go, hold up, wait a second. This is really out of line with the branding and the messaging. And with that, if you're not really sure about branding and messaging, we have done so many podcast episodes about this specific topic. We talk about the four hash method within the Make Chic Happen Planner. And so we really want to make sure that we're very clear on what our messaging is, what people follow us for. Number three is, what am I posting? Does it align with my actual marketing? So if I am doing a piece of content or a reel, can I talk a little bit also about what I am actually marketing in the moment? What do I want my audience to do with this piece of content? Okay, calls to action. What do you want them to do with it? Do you want them to share it? Do you want them to save it? Do you want them to tag their business besties? Do you want them to comment? Do you want them to go to your stories? What is it that you want your audience to do when they read a piece of your content? And then lastly, how are you going to measure success from that piece of content? Are you just looking at number of likes? Are you looking at more specific actions taken? Are you looking at the number of saves you got? Are you looking at the number of shares you got? Or are you looking at the number of comments that are left? Or are you looking at the conversations that started because of that post that maybe open up the doors to sharing a little bit more about the services or the products that you offer as well? So the whole point of the first purpose of posting is to ask yourself these key questions before you post, because you're not just posting to post. You have to have a purpose for each piece of content that you put out if you are marketing your services online. Let's go with tip number two. You want to give that one, Mel?
Yeah. So the second part of writing the framework for creating a good piece of content is your tagline. And your tagline is the very first sentence. It's the first sentence that people see on Facebook and on Instagram. And the whole purpose of the very first sentence is to actually stop the reader's scroll and to get them to be curious enough to want to read more. And if it's a post that you put on Instagram, we call it above the fold. You really can only see the first sentence or two of an Instagram post, and then you have to click read more or see more. And so we want to use that first sentence to actually get people to read more. So an example, a couple of examples of taglines. A tagline can be something that's triggering an emotion. So you might say, I will never forget how I felt on my wedding day. And if you put that sentence and then you put a few spaces underneath of that, what would happen is people would go, well, how did she feel on her wedding day? They would want to click see more. Or you may say, she leaned in close and shared her secret she'd been hiding from the world. It took everything I had not to allow the tears to stream down my face, right? It would be like that emotion, right? That it took everything that I had not to allow the tears to stream down my face. You're going, well, what did she say when she whispered in her ear, right? So that makes you want to read more. That's an emotional one. You can also do a tagline where you're asking a question. So maybe you start out by saying, do you prefer a mocktail or a cocktail? Or should I wear outfit A or B on date night tonight, right? So you can start with the question instead of writing the post and asking the question at the end. If you ask the question at the beginning, it gets the people to automatically engage. And sometimes they don't even actually read the rest of the caption. They'll just give you their opinion based off of the image and the question that you asked. Other things that you can do, you can use emojis to show personality. So you could maybe say like mic drop, have a little microphone, have a little, you know, hand that looks like she's dropping. Or maybe you do, did she really just say that? And then you're thinking to yourself, what do you mean? What did she really just say? So do you see how we're sort of changing things around? You can even start out at the beginning with like a pain point. Like, I've tried everything and nothing is working. that makes me go, well, what did you try? What's not working? So a lot of times, and I'll just give you one more tip, that as I'm writing a tagline, sometimes I don't know what the tagline is until I've written the entire post. And then what I do is I go back and I read the first sentence. And if it doesn't pop out at me, if I go, whoa, well, that didn't really grab my attention, I'll read the post again. Is there something else I said in that actual caption that I could use as the tagline? Sometimes I'll do that. And then sometimes I'll just add an extra sentence at the top that truly engages the person.
I love that you give that tip too, because I think a lot of times people don't understand that when you're writing content for your page or for your platform, a lot of times you have to write what we call the SFD. And in the writer's world, this is known as the shitty first draft. And I apologize for the swearing, but the SFD is you have to be willing to write it and then you play around with the way that it lays out. And so what Melanie suggests in the bold tagline, you might not even realize when you write the entire thing, you have a great tagline in the middle of the context that you can easily put up front, but be willing to write a first draft for it. Let's talk about the next one. The next one is to really tell a story to cultivate connection. This is not in every single piece of content, but when you show connection, people see you in a different way. They see you not as just the person on the other side of the gram land. They see you as a relatable person. And so when you create a story, and I always encourage people to just pull from things that are happening in real time, in their real life, it shows a connection by showing imperfect. So when you show a connection, you show imperfection, and that's what people connect with. That's what they crave, that feeling of she gets me. Oh, she makes mistakes too. Oh, she's human. And it also creates curiosity with the content. I remember last year, it was during the pandemic. So at the time of recording, it's 2021. It was during 2020. And in the summer, my kids were doing sports, but it was definitely a different year. And I was with my kids all the time. As I know everybody on this podcast, many of you listening, you're like, oh, yep, I remember this. I remember I was sitting at a sports event and my son asked me, do you still love us? And I started with that tagline, but the whole feeling that I created with that is I'm going through that too. I'm struggling with my kids too. I feel like I'm not a good enough mom. I feel like I'm being too hard on my kids. And it opened up the doors to conversation, not about what I sell, but about just who I am. And when people say, she gets me, or I like who she is because she's relatable, that is an easy, easy transition into what we have to offer. And they read a story with that mindset. And we all do this, right? Even last night, I was finishing an Emily Giffen book. It's The Lie That Binds. It's one of her newer ones that my friend had given me. I didn't put it down because we want to know how the story ends. We want to know how it turns out. We want to know if it's going to be okay. And that read on factor is a really great way to not just connect with your audience, but to also put their eyeballs where you want them. So for example, at the end of a post, you could easily remind them to leave a comment. You could guide them into your stories where you might be marketing an upcoming group that you have. But most importantly, this type of content, it establishes trust and it lets you be seen as somebody so much more than just somebody who sells.
Yeah, I love that. I love it. The next part of our framework of writing really good content is when you're writing a piece of content, sometimes you want to position yourself as an expert. And part of a post could be actually providing advice. So if you're going to say, I got super clear on the actual work that I am doing, right? Like the work that it takes to reach freedom, you don't just say, and so I did it and I became successful and end the post. One of the things that you want to do anytime you're trying to really establish yourself as the credible source and as the expert is to actually give the advice right in the post. I would encourage you to do a bullet pointed list, you know, even just kind of breaking your content up by bullet points really makes a big difference. So for example, when I did this piece of content where I said I got super clear on the actual work, the work that it will take to reach the freedom that I envisioned, I talked about being disciplined and showing up for my business at least 1 to 2 hours a day. I was bold in inviting people to join my business and mentorships. I posted on social media to build my brand, my voice, and expertise. I prioritized my business. I kept excuses in check. So somebody could read that specific post and they could get advice that they could immediately implement. So what that does is that cultivates a trust with my followers. So they don't see me as somebody that's talking about getting clear on the work and creating the vision. They're taking advice from somebody who's actually doing it, is implementing it, is just a few steps ahead. You know, that elevates you. When you do those kinds of things and position yourself as the expert, you are going to have an increased likelihood that that person is going to come back to read future content, but is also going to trust you enough to maybe want to work with you if you offer a service like that. All right. So providing advice, and this is probably one of the things that I see most business owners struggle with, is they like don't feel qualified to give advice on social, but it's such an important part, especially when you're marketing a service and experience. You really have to show people that you know what you're talking about on social media so they trust you.
Okay. So let me ask you this. I'll put you on the spot.
Okay.
I think a lot of times when people are marketing on social media, you know, it's really easy to fall into the comparison trap, but what if you don't yet feel like you're an expert to give advice? What is the advice you have for people who might be struggling with why would anyone listen to me?
Yeah. Okay. So you are essentially an expert because you are one step ahead of the person that's reading your post that hasn't even started yet. So think about it that way. You're the guide. You're one step ahead. And so when I think back to even just in the health and fitness industry, right? When I first started out, I remember the first few things that I started sharing, they were recipes that I was making. I wasn't an expert at clean eating back then, but I was one step ahead of the mom who hadn't even started to change her eating habits yet. So when I would share recipes and I was like, look for these ingredients in my research, these are the ones that are good. This is what you should stay away from. I'm just sharing my research. I'm sharing what I'm learning as I'm doing it. And I'm helping that person that's ready to take the first step. And you know, to that point, Katie, there are a lot of people out there that they don't want to, they relate better to the person that's just starting versus the expert with the ginormous following, right? Yeah. So sometimes that relatability factor, it's in your favor when you're first starting out too.
Oh my gosh, that's so, so true and such great advice. You're just one step ahead is still a step ahead, and somebody's looking to you very much more likely than they're looking to somebody who is an expert because of that relatability factor. So, so true. And Mel, I mean, now you're a culinary expert, right? I mean, you're like the cooking queen. You're like ninja of the kitchen, right, Mel?
Oh yeah, I burn my kids' grilled cheese, and that's in their eyes the biggest failure. Mom can't. You know, Matt has taken over the duties of cooking. I did not even put up a fight when I handed that over.
Oh my gosh, so funny, so great. All right, well, let's talk about the next one. This is sort of my secret sauce for really great content, something that I've used consistently. And it has really taken my messaging and elevated it to the next level. And it's very simple and it's the easiest thing in the world to do, but it's also something really simple not to do. And this is the use of repetition within your content. And in the marketing world, this is actually known as message framing. So message framing is, it's just a strategy that subconsciously forces us to want to continue reading something because we are craving that consistency. And what this looks like in the content you're creating is usually when you start a sentence or a couple of sentences with the same phrase, and you chunk it together so it sticks out. And I remember doing this piece of content where I talked about the different stages I was in with my weight. So it was a post about body image, and I talked about at each stage of my life how I felt about my own body. And so the repetition was when I was in fourth grade, and then I went on to say how I felt in fourth grade. And then I skipped a space, and then I said, when I was in college, and then how I felt about my weight in college. And then it went into when I was getting ready to get married. And then it connected to that feeling. And then now that I have, and then I filled in the blank with that information. But the when I was repetitive. And because it was repetitive, people would want to read the next line because they were craving to hear the next stage. And this works beautifully in your content. The key, though, is spacing it out a little bit. So I challenge you, if you're trying to make a point, if you're trying to inform your audience, if you're educated on something, what it would look like for you to actually repeat key phrases that are creating a standout factor within that text.
I love that. It works. It works so well. So definitely give that a try. Okay. So the next part of our framework is, does the picture that you're putting with your text, do they match? And I actually was having this conversation over the weekend about, you know, Instagram actually does kind of pay attention to that. They have their own sort of software behind the scenes that is really looking to kind of look at the two. Is your image matching your actual content that you're putting out there? And it's the same thing with a reader. If I am going to scroll past and I see your first sentence, your tagline, it says, over drinks tonight, I tell you about the time I was in high school and I wanted so badly to belong that I threw a party and it got busted, right? If the picture, like her picture in this example that we're using, is actually Katie holding a cocktail. So it matches, right? The text matches what the picture is. So you want to make sure that if you're, whatever you're writing about has that same emotion too. So if you're talking about this is the best day of your life, but then you post a picture and you look miserable and unhappy, it doesn't really coincide, right? Or if you're talking about something sad, you know, a sad story, you may not necessarily post a picture where you're celebrating and you're throwing confetti, right? So again, those might be dramatic, you know, examples, but you really want to say, does the picture accurately reflect what I'm talking about? When you're starting out with social marketing, we can get stuck in taking a selfie and the same picture, the same body angle every single time. And what happens is people also begin to kind of tune you out as well, yeah. Right? And even 2021, if you're looking at social media content, especially if, you know, as a business owner, as a brand, if you want people to share your content, if you want them to actually share it to their stories or share it on their platform, content actually does a little better if it's not always your face. So having variety is also better as well too, right? So anyways, I kind of went a little off a little bit on a tangent, but the main thing is every time you write a piece of content, do you have an image that actually connects to what you're saying in the piece of content?
Yeah. And even when Melanie mentioned that sometimes the images that you use where you're not sharing your face, it's just more shareable, meaning that more people are likely to take that piece of content and share it into their own stories. If they're on Facebook, share it onto their own profile pictures because it's a broader feel. It's not so personalized to you. So, and that's not always the case, but it sometimes is. All right. I also really appreciate that the post that you mentioned was the one where Katie threw a party in high school and it got busted. But that's a podcast episode, I think, for another day, another time, or a story for another experience, right?
Yep, for sure. We need to hear that. We definitely need to hear that story.
All right. So the next one that we have in this framework goes back to purpose of post, and that is a clear call to think or a clear call to act. And when we were talking about the purpose of the post, it is okay for you to ask your audience, your followers, to do something with your piece of content. And to do something can be anything from sharing to tagging to commenting to just engaging with in some way with your piece of content. But you can also call them to do something that is bolder. So if you put up a post where you're marketing a new service that you're getting ready to offer, it might be that you're getting ready to host a virtual event where you're going to be doing vision boards together and you want people to sign up and to register. They might be guided to the link in the bio, or they might be guided to get more information by writing DM below. So you have to be bold with your calls to action. But calls to action don't always have to be about the sale either. Calls to action can be guiding someone to go to your stories. It can be commenting their favorite brand of shoes. It can be actually anything that cultivates community and engagement in some way. A call to think, however, is a little bit different. A call to think, the main purpose of this piece of content is to share your thoughts and feelings, yes, but it's also to connect with your audience on a deeper level so that they come back to your content. So for example, if you tell a story, one piece of content that I did was just about how this thought I have that everybody has cancer, and cancer isn't just the actual term cancer we know it as, it's just toxicity. So it's just everybody has toxic relationships. Everyone has toxic habits. Everybody has this element in their life that is a cancer to them. And I didn't ask anyone to tell me about their cancers below, but it was just a food for thought. It was like a, that's a really good point. I never quite saw it that way. And I embedded repetition. I made sure that my image matched the content. But ultimately, my goal was to show people my own thoughts and feelings and allow them to sit with those thoughts and feelings and possibly come back to learn more. It is a really great way to establish trust with your audience so that they come back and they see you as not offering or marketing all the time.
I love it. I love that. So call to act, call to think. It's changing the way you think about it, right? We're not always thinking about it as it needs to be, I'm selling something. It literally can be, and people really get stuck in that point. So I hope that that made a lot of sense for people today.
And then it's not all about you. I think that's the other piece that people miss is when they're telling their story, when you know the purpose of it, mm-hmm. and you're asking yourself, why am I sharing this? What do I want them to do with it? It takes the focus off of you and puts it on them. Because if it becomes that people want to see your content because you're always dressing in beautiful ball gowns and all you're doing is talking about these beautiful ball gowns that you have, but you never really address them. You never really create a community with them. You never really offer tips and advice. You never really do anything but share pretty ball gowns. Well, what's the point? You're not building trust. You're not establishing credibility. You just dress up in fancy ball gowns.
Yeah.
So you really want to think to yourself, how does this piece of content serve my audience? And was I clear on what I want them to do with the content I created?
I love it. I love it. Okay. So last piece of the framework is hashtags, especially, and this is very, very specific to Instagram, but hashtags are incredibly important. And, you know, you want to make sure that with every post that you put on Instagram, if you are trying to grow the account for business, you want to use hashtags. And if you think about it this way, you can use up to 30 hashtags. And for a while there, we were encouraging people to use, 28 to 30 hashtags every time they did a post. And lately it's been more like 8 to 10. But here's the thing, when you're doing hashtags, think of it in terms of you have up to 30 different possible ways to card catalog that piece of content. So if I post a picture of my kids and it's about baseball and we're off to a baseball tournament for the weekend, I can use the hashtag Melanie Mitro. So if somebody would search Melanie Mitro on Instagram, anytime I've used my name, Melanie Mitro, all my posts are going to show up where I have that hashtag. So don't think about it as, why would I hashtag my name? Well, because you want to be searchable if people need to find you. Also, if we're going to baseball and it's a tournament, I can talk about, baseball mom life. When I click that hashtag, anybody else that's used baseball mom life, I'm going to also be able to see what people have tagged. But also, if somebody else clicks that hashtag, I'm now going to show up in baseball mom life. They may resonate with my tagline or my photo. They may end up on my page and end up as a follower, right? But I can think about all the different hashtags. I can do Mars Pennsylvania. I can do Mars baseball. There, again, all these are different ways that people can find me. And it's just based on what people search. And so your hashtags need to be specific to what you're posting about. So you don't want to use Mars Baseball as a hashtag if you're a dance mom and the picture is about your daughter going to a dance competition.
Right.
Right. So you need to make sure that the hashtags match the context of the post. You want to put them in the first comment of your post. I wouldn't encourage you to put it in the actual caption. It just, it clutters it. It doesn't make it look as professional. So the first comment is fine. And you want to also really be thinking to yourself, I want to think about some broad categories for my hashtags, right? But then I also want to think of some that are specific. So baseball mom is broad. Mars baseball is specific to me and my in location, right? So it's just much more niched down. So when you're thinking of hashtags, it is trial and error because you can't see which hashtag was the one that did the best when you're looking at your insights. It is a little bit of trial and error, but you will figure it out mm-hmm. just by clicking and using. You'll be able to see what works and doesn't work. But remember, this is a way for you to increase visibility and for people to find you.
So true. So tips this week were all about your quality content. So use it as a checklist. And don't forget, if you click on our show notes, you can actually get our checklist. You can check it out. You can get that totally for free. It's just our gift to you because we want you to create quality content because we know when you create quality content, you start to grow your following. When you grow your following, you make a bigger impact. When you make a bigger impact, you make a greater income. And we know that they're all connected back together. And if we can help serve you in a little bit of our own way, and this checklist can help you make sure that you're creating that quality content, make sure you grab it. So you can check that out in the show notes below. Thank you guys for checking in this week. We hope you have a great week. Let's make chic happen.
Thank you for listening to the Make Chic Happen podcast with your hosts, Melanie Mitro and Katie Ersta. If you loved our podcast, be sure to leave a comment or review and be sure to tune in next time.